This is Church Tech Profiles, episode 11 for the week of November 23rd, 2020. Kerry Martinez.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Church Tech Profiles. I'm Van Metschke, your host, and I've been having a fantastic conversation with my guest. So we just decided that we should probably hit record at some point in time, and so we could actually get some of this down on the podcast instead of just talking about it and you all don't get to hear it. So this is somebody from the first time I met her, I wanted to have her on the podcast. And I have Kerry Martinez on the podcast. Hello, Kerry. How are you?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me.
Kerry works, the way I found her is that she actually works for Marvin Simpson and Debbie Keough over at Water of Life, who any of you who've ever listened to this podcast or know anything about me know that Marvin's my tech son. Everybody probably knows that. But I got to meet you, what, a couple months ago, I think?
Probably a couple months ago.
Yeah. And so from the moment I met her, I was like, okay, she's need to be on the podcast though. She definitely has a personality to be on the podcast and she's my kind of people. We figured that out the hour that we've been talking before. So she's a person that I would actually hire right away to be on a team. So with all that introduction, Kerry, what are you doing right now? And then we're going to get into kind of your background and your whole story. So what are you doing over at Water of Life?
So right now I don't know. I do a lot. I've been doing a lot. Right now my role is a tech assistant. So pretty much anywhere they put me, either I learn it so I can do it or I just do it. I mainly do monitors. I think one of the main monitor engineers there. I do that for most of the services, most of the ministries. And lately I've been doing some front of house for our weekend services because they've been entrusting me to do that, thankfully. It's been fun. I've been doing some little broadcast things here and there and mixing for broadcast, setting up the stage. I'm just all over the place.
Kind of doing it really. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been on staff over there?
Oh, I love this question because one of my favorite holidays I got hired on, which was Valentine's Day. They made it official. I signed those papers and I was getting paid.
Awesome. So, that's great. So that's what you do now. You kind of have to be a jack of all trades when you're in church tech, and you're learning that very quickly. Yeah. So what's your kind of, let's go back to, you know, when you kind of got the tech bug, when did this kind of start? How did you, what's kind of your, like, give me your journey kind of for the last, like, you know, 10 years of how you got here.
Okay. Has been that well, maybe. So it first started actually when I was doing music lessons, and I had a music teacher, and she was the best. She still is. I still talk to her here and there. She kind of took me under her wing a little bit, and she took me to one of her recording sessions that she was doing because she used to go to school and you know, at a music school. And so she had access to recording studios and stuff. So she took me one day to the recording studio. And I remember seeing all the board and the racks and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I was like, I don't think I'm good enough yet to do some recording. So maybe I'll just stick, you know, stay back here. And so that's what I did. And she took me to a couple of her little gigs that she did here and there, and it was live, and it was just the PA and her and this really basic setup, and I'm like, this is pretty cool, like she's creating an experience and I like music and, you know, I'm feeling that, and, you know, it's that experience that, you know, concert goers go to concerts for. And I was like, I kind of like that. And then so I continued doing music, and then my parents and I started going to church a lot more. And then I saw the board. I was like, oh, I saw something like this before. And, you know, I was like, the worship music, just the whole experience of being in church, you know, it's pretty much all ran by people who are behind the board. So I asked, this is at Harvest in Riverside. I asked one of the guys, Robert, I was like, hey, can I volunteer? And then he's like, yeah, just do this, blah, blah, blah. And then so I volunteered.
Robert Federuso?
Yep.
My favorite folks.
Yep. And so I asked, and it took a couple months to get me on there, but eventually I did. And then I met Mike Smith, the one who wants to take credit for all of my success. started scheduling me a lot more, and mainly because I started bugging them. I was like, hey, get me, you know, places beyond stagehand. And I kept asking, and I just started making friends with all the sound guys. And I know I'm their favorite because I, you know, I'm the spaz there. And so I just started asking questions and started getting a lot more into it. And I was like, I like creating that experience. I don't know a lot, but I'm willing to be teachable. So they started teaching me, and all of them became, you know, like father and brother figures to me and started pouring into me. And then like Shay and Brian, both Brians that work at Harvest, everyone just started, you know, teaching me as much as I can and answering my questions. TJ was one of the first ones that, you know, really pushed me to learn as much as I can. He taught me some soldering and all this stuff. He's great. And then I was just volunteering there, and Debbie came along and kind of snatched me up, and now I'm on part of their team, and it's great. But you know, I still talk to the guys from Harvest, and I work at Water of Life, and that's kind of where I am now.
Cool. Well, tell me about tell me like about your schooling, like, cause you also have a degree. Oh, so yes, kind of let's talk a little bit about that. And what was your journey through high school and going to college and all that kind of stuff? What was that about?
I almost forgot about my degree.
Well, I haven't.
All
so
those
there you
tears,
go.
All that blood and tears. Yeah, I went to school for communication. And it started, I actually chose communication because of my music lessons that I took in high school. My mom did not want me to do sound or music because she's like, oh, you know, that's not stable. So we had a compromise. I liked media and I liked, you know, entertainment and being part of what people see, like the masses see. So I was like, okay, maybe I could try to get my foot into what I really want by doing communication. You know, communicating, networking, and all this stuff, promoting myself, learn how to do that. So I went to school for mass communication, and I graduated from Cal State LA with my BA in that. I have a couple other little degrees from Pasadena City College also. But yeah, I finished. I graduated in 2019 with that.
So talk, let's talk about a little bit about what you're doing, like, you know, other stuff you're doing, you know, like kind of you were involved in a project that you got to like do a lot of stuff for. So talk about that, because that's pretty cool. That was a pretty cool project that you did.
Yes. So I was in this time of waiting, and me being me, I'm a little extra and I like to be busy and try to better myself in any way I can. It's hard, but I try. But I had this time, and I was like, well, what am I going to do? I was like, I just graduated. I want to do sound. So what about we kind of merge my two industries, I guess, into one? So I created a survey to see if there were any girls in AV who were like me, who liked pink, but didn't mind to get their hands dirty. I just want to see if there are any other girls who liked doing face masks outside of work, as cliche as, you know, that those girl stereotypes are. I do like those things. But you would have never expected it from just seeing me at work. So I want to see, you know, hey, how many other girls are out there who do what I do? So I created a survey, and that kind of blew up unintentionally. It was kind of scary, actually. So I created the survey, and I met a lot of people online and a lot of connections on Twitter. And that's the hub for a lot of AV people. And I reached out to a lot of people to share my survey. And one of the groups that I reached out to, it was Women in AV, or WAVE. And I asked them to share it, and they did. And they ended up asking me if I wanted to do a survey with them. So now it was an even more professional and more sophisticated project than what I originally did. So I managed to, you know, do that study with them, a full study. It was awesome. It was such an awesome experience. And somehow I ended up in a whole bunch of interviews and magazines, and that was actually really scary to get that much attention out of nowhere. My life completely changed in less than a year, and I think that was the most scary. I went from mopping and cleaning toilets to being in Sound and Communication magazine and Pro Sound News and all these magazines that I ended up, that I was reading before, that Mike Smith told me about. I was like, wow, I'm in the magazines now. So that was pretty cool. And yeah, I had those projects under my belt, and it was great because I got to experience and meet people on the other sides of this industry, like the marketing and the publications and the, you know, integrators. And I never would have thought, you know, I would have ever met these people or talked to them in any capacity. And it was just really great to see, you know, the other side of the AV industry.
Have you felt like this is going to be a passion for you, you know, as your career goes? I mean, just, you know, helping other women in AV, you know, having a kind of like, we were talking about this before we started recording, of just how, you know, much the industry has changed for women in AV in just even the last 10 years, you know, and having it just more organizations where women can, you know, hone their craft and get together and talk about things that are unique to women in AV, and but also, you know, get jobs, you know, all the kind of networking stuff. Is that something that you want to continue to be a part of, and, you know, maybe you haven't thought about it, but maybe spearhead it, and, you know, because, you know.
Yes, actually, I created a website, my website, thekaramartinez.com. It was mainly for like my profile and things I've done, and so that I could share it with other people. But I realized I had a lot to say about what I was going through, and I still have to update it, but work and stuff gone away in a good way.
Well, you're going to have to update it because I'm going to link it in the show notes, so people are going to start going to it. So maybe that'll push you to go in there.
Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you for that. Yeah, so I created a website, and I was like, I have a lot to say. It's kind of cheesy, but I'll start a little blog just to kind of share what I've learned and maybe my advice or stories or life experience or sound experience will help some other girls. But I realized, like we talked about before, it's a lot about relationships and just people. And at first, I was thinking like, yeah, you know what? I look cool behind this board. I look cool, you know, wrapping this cable. I don't know. I just thought it looked cool, but I realized that it's much more about, you know, pushing faders. It's about people, and like, you're pushing that fader for people out in the audience, and you're creating those relationships. And I realized I don't want to be just someone who does sound. I want to be someone who creates relationships, and that's where kind of my communication side of me comes out. It's I like people. I love people. And this website, you know, my little platform, it's for people to, especially girls in AV, but mainly for anyone, just people in general, to get to know who I am. And AV is just a part of what I do. And, you know, sharing the gospel is a big thing for me on there. I have an option to send a prayer request. I share, you know, how this AV experience, how I've seen God work in my life through it. And it's just, yeah, another way for me to connect with girls, mainly because I focus a lot on that, like being a girl and, in the industry. And yeah, just for anyone to read though, I don't think I make it, I like to connect with people and hearing both sides. So I like, you know, to give that insight maybe to anyone just who reads it. But yeah, I definitely want to be that, friend for someone, and like how Debbie has been for me. She is one of the only women that I know in the industry that I talk to regularly. She's the only one. So the fact that I could be someone else's Debbie, or you know, be a Carrie for someone, that's a big thing for me. And regardless of if it's in the AV or anything, it's just about, again, it's more than being someone, an audio engineer. It's about being a servant. So
that's really cool. That's really cool. You have you definitely have the heart to mentor already at your age. You already have this heart to mentor other folks. I can totally tell. And you're spoiled because you have two great mentors, that you work with that are awesome mentors of people that love people. You know, we joke on this podcast, and we did on you know, Church Tech Weekly, when it all comes down to relationships, right? It's all about relationships. Jesus was in the people business, and if we work in the church, we're in the people business. There's no way of getting around it. So that's totally awesome. So what, I know I'm putting you on the spot a little tiny bit, but I like doing that because I like the, you know, off the cuff answers. What do you think your next, like, what would you really like to do for women in tech? Like, what would, like, if you could do any one single thing that would help women in tech get together and feel, you know, feel like there was an organization that could really help them or whatever, you know, what would you do? What would you love to do? Like, if you do anything, what would you do?
If COVID wasn't a thing, I would love all of us to get together and like do events and just talk. I guess the first thing I would do is just talk to them, is just get to know them. I guess just more as a person rather than, you know, them being a technician or an AV. Of course, that's important because that's the reason why I'd be talking to them. But as you mentioned before, also, you'd rather work with someone that is a people, or not so much, but that you could get along with, and the culture. And I would like to just get to know them first and just talk to them and see, you know, similarities that we have, and work our way to, I guess, something else.
Cool. Well, hopefully you'll be able to do that. There's lots of great opportunities, and I think there's going to be more opportunities, you know. So let's go back to Water of Life for a second. What are you kind of you know, Debbie and I talked about it because she was like on the second or third of these podcasts of starting this over again. So, that was so long ago, and COVID has changed nonstop, changes what we're doing. You know, we're in the red. No, now we're in the purple. Now we're in the, I don't know what we are anymore. Like whatever, you know, so. what are you guys doing right now? How, because you guys were doing outside services for a while, and then you were doing inside services for a while, and I think you're still, I don't know what you're doing now. So what do you guys, what's kind of like your weekly workflow of what you guys do?
So now we're inside. We went back inside permanently.
She's air quoting, so you can't see her, but that's what she's doing. She's air quoting.
Permanently, the week of Halloween. So, we went from being a festival style set up outside to being completely back inside, which has been nice. And our smaller ministries and our, younger ministries, like junior high, high school, young adults, they're moving back inside too. And right now, or actually next week, or this coming up week, Debbie and I are going to start moving Monitor World back into Monitor World. And we are repatching everything and doing all that fun stuff, going back kind of to how we went, how we were before COVID. But I guess it's just figuring things out.
So what all different events are you guys doing in the auditorium each week?
So one thing that we have to do now is move our high school and junior high ministry into our main sanctuary, into our worship center, because of how many people there are, how many kids. Usually they meet in a smaller venue, but because of the space and how many people, we have to move them back into there. So a lot of our, or not a lot, but some of our ministries are going into different places and utilizing those resources that we have. So.
Yeah, because your auditorium is like 3,000 seats, so it's pretty big, and you can stretch out, space out, social distance, right? The one of the three terms that I want stricken from the English language as soon as we're done with this is social distancing. Please stop saying it. Stop saying it. Yes. It's almost lost its meaning, right?
Yeah.
What is it? What does this stuff even mean? Well, cool. So what are you guys doing for Christmas?
So we're actually we're going to be starting our rehearsals, this coming up week. We're doing like this string orchestra thing. I have no idea yet, but, they just tell me I'm doing monitors for rehearsals, and that's all I know yet for right now. But we're pre-recording a lot of stuff. And then playing it back, and then we're going to have our regular worship team come and sing along with the pre-recordings, from what I know so far.
Cool. So you guys are still doing, are you doing online, like, are you doing a separate online service, or are you just doing online, you're just broadcasting online live so people can watch while the services are going on, right?
Yeah. We used to do separate services, and then now, since we're just inside, we're broadcasting all of our services now.
Right. So, because some churches are doing both. They're still recording, pre-recording, and playing a completely separate service. And then that's insane to me. Not insane like they shouldn't be doing it. It's just like, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, what's some of the things that you've learned just in switching from Harvest to Water of Life? Give me two things that you've learned, give me some similarities and give me some differences of what you've learned.
Okay. Yeah. So definitely similarities is like the family atmosphere of the team, and the willingness to teach me. But a difference is more of an urgency to teach me, or more of the capabilities of teaching me, and training me. And I'm getting a little bit more hands-on experience and being able to do different things. and dive deeper into certain situations, like mixing or even, you know, learn the console a lot more, knowing the ins and outs of a console and reallocating the card. Debbie just taught me that.
Yeah, because you have Avids now, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's a big difference, but the environment of, like, being around the people, like, I love it. They both poured into me as much as they could, and at Watervive, you know, I'm able to just dive deeper and learn more.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I told you I was going to ask you this, so I will, because we were talking about before we talked about a lot of stuff. But so I want you to give me your top. Now, see, musicians don't listen to this podcast. It's only tech people. Okay, so you're safe. So you're all right. Yes. Quote unquote. I air quotes. Yes. What are you? I'm gonna start out. I've decided. So a couple of weeks ago, I got to do a podcast called the Church Sound Podcast with Prentice Thompson. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time. In fact, it's going to be if you're listening to this podcast, you will have already heard that podcast, the episode before this, on Church Tech Profiles, because I'm actually rebroadcasting the conversation that Prentice and I had on his podcast. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense to anybody, what I just said, because I don't know if it makes sense, but anyway, he has like three things, you know, three microphones and three, he has all these lists. And so I've decided I'm going to start doing that because I think it's cool. So what's your three, if you had, let me phrase this so it doesn't sound so terrible. If you had three pet peeves that musicians do that you wish they wouldn't do
one live of them. Events. Yes. All right. One of
making, okay, now I gotta word this so it doesn't sound terrible. probably when they tell me I need to fix something or route something or soft patch something or change something because they're not hearing sound, but you know you checked everything and you're checking again for them and it turns out it's something on their pedal board that is actually wrong, or their cable that they brought is bad, or they didn't put a battery in the guitar or something like that. So that's one of them.
I agree with all that.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just slow, but when I am doing monitors and clearly they hear each other in their ears and they start asking all at once for, you know, certain needs. And it's like, you can only do one person at a time. That's another pet peeve. I mean, I don't expect them to know, you know, that. So I got to cut them some slack, but it's like, they've been there long enough, they'd kind of know how monitors work. I don't know if I have a third one, do I?
Well, it's okay if you don't. It's totally fine. I think musicians would appreciate the fact that you only have two.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe I have more. I just
wait another 10 years. You'll have a whole list of them, you know.
Yeah.
And we are gonna get right back to the podcast in one moment. The sponsor for this episode is Renewed Vision, the folks that bring you ProPresenter. They are in their 20th year of powering lyric and video presentations of churches of all sizes. Whether it's Windows or Mac, they have an application for your church, and it's really a must-have. I've been using ProPresenter for I don't even know how long. I don't know if it's been 20 full years, but it's been pretty close, and I really wouldn't use anything else. And ProPresenter 7, which was released in January, has a ton of great new functionality like multi-screen support, dual Bible support. It also includes module functionality that was previously had to be purchased separately, but is now inside regular ProPresenter 7, such as edge blending, alpha key, and MIDI controls. One of the cool things that happened when COVID came down is that they also added video streaming directly within the software, and they also added really powerful audio routing functionality. Their latest release introduced integration with Resi, which is formerly Living as One, which is a very powerful streaming platform. So for more information on ProPresenter and all of the Renewed Vision software and applications, go to renewedvision.com. That is renewedvision.com, and we thank them so much for their support. Now back to the podcast.
If you could talk to, and this is not, I'm not saying that the people that you're around and the mentors that you currently have are not doing this, or they are doing this, but if you could talk to a lot of the tech people that are listening to this, that lead teams and are raising up younger people, like yourself, into doing tech ministry and, you know, tech in church, what would you like, what is the biggest thing that you would like folks, you know, to know about young people like you trying to do this and trying to get into it? Like, what do you need them to do? Like, what, from your perspective as a young person who wants to be mentored and wants to be trained and wants to be, you know, the best tech that they can be and the best leader that they can be in tech ministry and church, what do you need? You know, what's some good advice you could give to the people that are in charge to do to help you be better at what you're doing?
You know what? I'm so glad you asked this, because I've been trying to figure out how to say this, but I think a big one is sitting down. I don't know if it's an inconvenience, because I know that, you know, people who are training and leading are, or the leaders are busy, but sitting down, talking to them and finding out or figuring out what their learning process is, because I've noticed mine a lot more now that I need to learn certain things. I'm like, oh, okay. So this is what works for me when I learn. This is not what works for me. Or I need to hear this a couple times and like really get my hands on something and do it in order for it to really stick. Certain things will stick if you just tell me, but just certain concepts won't. So maybe just taking that time to understand their learning process, especially if they tell you that they really want to learn it. It's just like, it's for me, I've noticed that it's a little discouraging sometimes, not from the leaders, but from just my learning process. I'm like, okay, am I not getting it? Maybe I'm not good enough to do this. Maybe that type of communication. And I could tell, you know, Debbie and Marvin this. I just haven't, because I just literally recently have been thinking about it. I'm like, oh man. I'm getting a little discouraged, because I'm like, am I just not smart enough to understand this? Is it just the concepts? But it's just, I have been wanting to talk to Debbie about it. It's like, I don't want you to think I'm not interested in it, or like, or not getting it. It's just the way I'm learning. Because, you know, once you start learning a little bit more advanced things, it's a little scary, because you're like, okay, now I have to learn this because I have to do front of house for the weekend services, which I would have never thought I would have been able or given the opportunity to do that, because as volunteers, you know, sometimes you're not able to do that. And I'm still in that volunteer mentality, because I know I have so much to learn. And that's one thing I will let people know, is I know I have a lot to learn, but I'm teachable and I'm willing to be taught, you know, your way or this way. But yeah, I think a big thing is just sitting down with the person and letting them know, you know, kind of where you are and in what you know and how you learn. I think that would be a good thing, because people learn differently, and they advance differently and at different paces. And yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's smart of you. Everybody learns different, you know. One of the things that, you know, Marvin and I talked about for a long time when we were both working at the same church is you have to learn the love language of every single person that's on your team. And, mm-hmm. That being, you know, even down to volunteers, there's some volunteers, well, of course, right now with COVID, you know, can't do any of this stuff, but let's say in like the regular world, mm-hmm. of not COVID, you know, there's some people you can Christian side hug. There's some people you have to fist bump. There's some people that you high five.
Yeah.
And there's some people that want to shake your hand. And there's some people that want to hug you. Mm-hmm. And so you, as a leader, you have to know what the boundaries are of each one of the people that you lead. Mm-hmm. And it goes for training too. You have to know that some people are willing, they're teachable, they want to learn. And those are the people you have to invest in, but you have to figure out what their language is of how they learn, because everybody learns differently. You know, mm-hmm. like me, I hate to read. I will, and I do. But I'd much rather hear it. That's why audiobooks have been so great for me. Daily Audio Bible has been a game changer for me for the last 10 years, because I actually get to hear the Bible all the way through every single year because mm-hmm. it's on a podcast. And I would have never had the discipline to read the Bible all the way through every year. There's no way. I mean, I get to like, you know, Lamentations and I'm out. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't, this is it. I can't do this anymore. And yeah. So, but because, you know, there's a podcast where he reads it, you know, Brian reads it all the way through every year. It's been a game changer. Well, for me listening, I'm a audible learner. Mm-hmm. So that's, I don't know if that's why I'm a sound engineer, maybe, I don't know, but, you know, so that's good. That's a great lesson for all of us who are training people and who are leading, to give opportunities to people that want them, and to try to figure out how people need to be trained, how they learn, and all those good things. Well, cool. So what, one more three, maybe it's three, maybe it's two, maybe it's one. I don't know. I'm not real good at this because I just started. You're my guinea pig because I haven't done any of this before. Give me a couple of things of things that you just love in general about being a tech, being a sound engineer, being a tech. I mean, like, you know, what's the stuff you love about doing it?
Definitely creating that environment for people to make a memory or create an experience for them. I like knowing that I'm part of that and they're the reason, and like they have no idea. And I was like that too. Like, for example, when I went to One Direction concerts, I did not care about the sound guys. All I cared about was who was on stage and Harry Styles. And when I look back at it now as someone who is attempting to do sound and being the sound engineer, I appreciate them so much because they were creating that experience so seamlessly and I wasn't even thinking about it. So they did their job right. And so, yeah, creating that experience. Meeting people so far in the community of AV. A lot of the people are really nice so far, and everyone knows each other, and the technology also. It's pretty cool. It's a little overwhelming, I will admit. But I think it's really cool that, you know, you get a mess with all this stuff. And it's just, again, I think, but my favorite thing is creating that experience in the environment, because people, you know, they like going, oh, they can't right now, but, you know, they like going out and they like experiencing stuff. And I like that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons most of us do it. I think, mm-hmm. Well, I think it's probably 50-50. There's a lot of people that like it just because they get to touch electronics and, you know, I mean, we're all kind of nerds. So we all like the gear, you know, I mean, everybody likes it in different, you know, various forms, but, You know, but that's, yeah, I think that's great. Well, cool. Go ahead.
Actually, it's about like music too. My main goal would, if it weren't being a country artist, it'd be doing sound for a country artist. So it's the music and it's like that.
One Direction and country artists. Who's your favorite country artist?
Right now, it's been John Party. He's one of my favorite modern ones. I like this other artist named Carly Pierce and Cam and Little Big Town. And but older country, I love that stuff. I love Loretta Lynn. I like Reba. I like George Strait.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, I was just going to say, I never thought that One Direction and Harry Styles would get talked about in my podcast, but my daughter is going to be very happy that that happened. Because my daughter's actually went and saw Harry in Sacramento a couple years ago. So that was like a big deal. And so there you go. So you're in good company, see? So because, there you go. But well, that's really cool. Well, one of the things, that leads me into one more question. How important is it? Because I really want to make sure people hear this. I think a lot of times when people have been an audio engineer for a very long time, they stop doing the very thing that they need to do. But I want to hear from you as a person who's starting your career, mm-hmm. on the front side of your career mm-hmm. as an audio engineer. How important is it to you to listen to music?
Very. For me, my favorite artist is actually Elvis. And I've been getting a lot of inspiration from the way his live albums have been mixed. And I actually talked to Debbie about this, is I noticed a thing that was really, I guess, basic, but I just never tied it together in my brain, is the compression and how compression is used and the dynamics. And I remember I was messing with the compression one time during doing monitors. I was like, oh, I don't like that. And I turned the compression on. I was like, I don't like that. And then I turned it off and I was like, ah, it's much more of what I'm used to and right. what I like. It's those dynamics. But it's I've noticed doing broadcast more, it's much more important realizing where that instrument needs to stand out more and that feeling the musician is trying to convey. And it's those things I've been trying to listen a lot more to, and just how things are balanced. You want to balance things, right? So I'll do this thing where I listen to different, I try to stray away from my country and worship side, but I usually try to listen to different genres and different time periods to figure out what has changed, what they did differently, what's the same, what I could pick up from that. And so I think it's very important, and it's good because I like all types of music anyway. So
yeah, so that's something that it's very, it's easy in our world today with everything that's going on in the world to listen to a lot of people talking. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're here on the podcast, so please keep listening to this podcast. But when you're not listening to this podcast, listen to music, because it's very important to listen to music. And I like that. And I love the fact that you are, here's my old guy coming out, but I love the fact that you're young and you listen to this huge variety of music, because that's, if you saw my, my playlist, you'd be like, wow, that's insane, because I have classical in there, and then I have, metal, and I have, all kinds of stuff, Johnny Cash. And, I just added a whole new Billy Joel playlist to my, to my playlist, and then everything in between. And I have newer stuff too, unfortunately not a ton of newer stuff, because I'm reasonably convinced, and the older I get, of course, because I'm an old guy, so I can say this, but I'm reasonably convinced that there's music is very popular music especially is very much the same. It always used to make me laugh because my dad said that all the stuff I listened to sounded the same, and that was back in the 70s and 80s. But now I literally feel like most of this, and this actually has been, if you can read articles about it, there's tons of YouTube videos on it about how the music industry wants all the popular music to sound the same so that people will buy it because it sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So they make artists do the same, like, oh, so you got to have one song on your album that sounds like the Ariana Grande song, you know, or whatever, so that people will think, oh, I heard that before. And I've actually heard this song before. So they'll buy it.
Yeah.
And so what that's done is it's made all that music sound the same, because it's written in the same four chords, you know?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting to me, and it's probably just, it might be because I'm a Christian and I try to watch what I say or listen to. But I can't listen to popular secular music a lot. I'll listen to it if it's like there, but it's not my choice. And I feel like I'm 67 years old sometimes, because I'm like, these hooligans. And it just doesn't appeal to me. And it sounds, the beats are, I guess, good and stuff, but it's not enough for me to be like, you know, I'm going to put on Kiss FM.
Yeah.
Like it just, I can't, maybe it's just how I grew up.
Well, and you pull out certain things. I mean, some of my daughters are, you know, they listen to certain new music, you know, One Direction, yeah, obviously, and Harry Styles, obviously. Yeah. But, you know, they listen to a lot of like Beatles and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, I think in our house with my daughters, as well as me and my wife, I mean, at Christmas, we'll be listening to the Shania Twain Christmas album and the Chicago Christmas album that was recorded back in the 90s will be played in our house more than probably any other, you know, album. And then for me, I'll listen to like my favorite Christmas albums are going to be Dean Martin or Bing Crosby. Like, yeah, I'll listen to those over and over and over again, you know, all the time, because I mean, to me, they are actually better than any of the new stuff. Michael Bublé will get played a lot too, but yeah, you know, but I don't think that's wrong. I think that the new music stuff, while there is new music that is being produced that is good, I actually think more of it's being produced in like Americana and all these like off kind of brands that are coming out of Nashville and Atlanta and different stuff like that.
Yeah.
The pop music now that's kind of mixed with rap is very much all the same, and a lot of it Christians shouldn't be listening to, because the contents is, I mean, they used to say that rock and roll was bad content, man. I listen to stuff now and I'm like, holy cow, they don't even mince words. You know, they're telling you exactly what they think with all the words, all the words. They don't even care. And I'm like, that is not, it kind of brings you down, you know? So
yeah,
I'm glad, it's good to hear young people say those things. I agree with you. It's very important to listen to tons of different genres of music, to broaden your horizon, even if you don't like it, you know. Yeah. One of my big things, and I don't know how, I'd love to hear how you feel about this, but one of my big things is I believe that when we live in a time right now that's better for audio engineers than it ever has been, because there's so much stuff you can listen to. But one of the biggest things for church is when you get Planning Center, almost all worship pastors, worship leaders will attach the tracks to the songs. For the musicians, you are doing yourself and the band a huge disservice by not listening to those at least once or twice, to at least get a vibe of what they're going for, you know? So it's super important to, as much as, you know, a lot of Christian music, which is all worship music now, all Christian music is worship music. Back when I was starting out, there was Christian music that was kind of like secular music with Christian words. Now somehow it's just changed to, it's all worship music that any song on the Christian radio, they do in church. So it's totally different, but Christian music still isn't great. I mean, some of it is, some of it's really, really good, but some of it's just not. I mean, we won't name the two biggest bands in worship music. You cannot say their stuff doesn't sound similar all the time. Yeah. So that's a little bit like secular music too, I guess, like pop music, but you should still listen to it because that's what your worship bands are listening to. And that's what you're trying to do. You know, when I was doing, I mean, I did reggae, country, all kinds of stuff back in the day, and I would listen to that music, even though I didn't necessarily always like it. But I'm like, well, I have to make this sound good. I'll be honest with you, with the exception of a couple of things, I've never loved rap music. There's a couple of bands I do love, but I've never been into it. But when I was doing stuff like that, I listened to it so I could mix the way it should sound, you know? So if you don't listen to music, I don't know how you're going to be a good sound engineer.
Yeah.
Cause tonally, you don't know what stuff's supposed to sound like, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, well, Carrie, it has been phenomenal talking with you. I'm so glad that you were able to come on the podcast. If people want to reach you, where is the best place for them to reach you at?
Twitter and Instagram, and both my handles are at the Carrie Martinez, or my website, thecarriemartinez.com. Or just recently, I managed to buy the domain Carrie Martinez, so that was a big thing.
That's awesome.
So either way.
Yep. So it's K A R I.
Yes, like Carrie Job.
Yeah, there you go, Carrie Job. A good Christian, a really good, amazing Christian artist. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
So those albums actually are mixed very well. That's the one, like I love the mixes on Carrie Job albums. They're done really, really well. So cool. They can reach you there. Twitter. Mm-hmm. You said Facebook, Instagram. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
LinkedIn. Yeah.
LinkedIn. Oh yeah. Look, hey, you know, you're in the industry. You gotta, if you're in the industry, if you get paid to do this, you have to have a LinkedIn account, even if you think it's boring. Put your stuff on there because people do look, and you never know what opportunities you're going to get.
Yeah.
I tell people that all the time. Yes. So cool. Well, we're going to link to thecarriemartinez.com. Does carriemartinez.com forward to that?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So either way you go, you can do that. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. She has all that on her homepage. I'm looking at it right now. Yep. The cool thing is you can also check out that survey that she did is on her website. So you can look at that and see all the results of those things. And I have a feeling she's going to be doing more of these kind of surveys into women in tech and all those different things as things come up. So you need to stay tuned for all those things. And it's a cool website. It has a ton of pink on it, by the way.
Yeah.
For sure. So
thank you.
Apparently you like pink. So there you go.
I really do.
That's awesome. So cool. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really enjoyed it and I hope you had a good time.
Yes. Thanks for having me. It's fun talking.
Now with that, we're going to end the podcast right there. As always, I say it over and over again. I know you're sick of hearing it, but please go over to iTunes, and even if it's not your podcast app, go over there anyway and give us a 5-star review and give us a good review. I really appreciate it. Also, go over to the socials, Twitter, Church Tech Pro, Instagram, Church Tech Profiles. We have a Facebook page, Church Tech Profiles. Go over there, like, friend, subscribe, do the things, you know, all the things you do on the socials. If you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me through any of the social networks, or you can email me at van@thesoundbooth.com. If you want to send people to a particular podcast or go back and listen to the other podcast, just search Church Tech Profiles on any podcast app and we should come up. If we don't come up, please let me know because I want to make sure that we're coming up on all the different podcast apps. But you can go back there and listen, or you can listen on thesoundbooth.com. If you would like to be interviewed or know somebody that should be interviewed, please let me know because I want to really have a very interesting, diverse, and different set of people on this podcast, from churches of 100 to churches of 10,000. I think we all have great stories, and I really love spending the time getting them out there. This is Thanksgiving week when this is airing, so I just want to say, if no one else says it, I am thankful and grateful for you, for all your hard work, and I am thankful to the Lord for being a part of this church tech community. This tribe is a great tribe. I am very thankful for it. Please take some time this week to give thanks for all the great stuff that God has done in your life. It's been a tough year, but God is faithful. I'll talk to you later.